Good morning, everybody. And how is everybody? Are you blessed and highly favored? Oh, you're either blessed and highly favored, or you're cursed and miserable. God is on the move, and we're in the groove. Let's see, how are we going to start this, Papa? Thank you, Lord. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Who's the ruler of this earth? Satan's kingdom. Only temporarily. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is what? Of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. So he tells us right here, these three things, lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life, are the strongholds of your flesh. They're there. They will always be there. Does everybody understand that? That's where you and I must constantly take dominion over all the time. Now, the demonic forces know that. And I want to share with you something. A demon is actually a spirit of desire. I'll explain more of this later. Every demon is a spirit of desire. It carries a desire. And the three desires and the categories and strongholds they carry is lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Those are the three things that you and I battle every day. And because they carry this presence, they carry this desire. That desire they're trying to get us into, to distract us, to blind us, to manipulate us, and to control us. See, demons are assigned to every human being. When somebody says, well, I don't have any demons, oh, you do. Everybody does. Some people have them living in them, and some people have them attached to them. But the ones that are not attached or living are following. Everyone has demons assigned to them by Satan's kingdom. And their purpose is to constantly follow you, trip you up, and snare you into a trap. So that you come in the area of the works of the flesh. These are disembodied spirits, but they're actually a spirit of desire. Would you turn to the book of Genesis for a second? Oh, we're going to fly around here. Genesis chapter 4, 3. And it says, in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Is everybody with me? Are you there? You're reading it with me. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? See, Cain and Abel already knew what pleased God in the sacrifice. It was the shedding of blood. He did that with Adam and Eve, and they taught their children or their offspring. If you will do will you not be what? Accepted. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. What is sin? The presence of evil. It's considered a demon who carries the presence of evil. It carries a what? Desire. Watch what he says next. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And it's what? Desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Again, your choices will reject or invite demon presence. Not all are demon-possessed people, but all have demon influence. We do not fight flesh and blood. You know, people's problems is The number one is the lack of presence. And the number two is the lack of discernment was influencing them. They try to blame everybody else or circumstances, but there's a demonic presence behind each and every one. So one of our responsibilities is exposing your demons. Say it with me. Exposing your demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So don't tell me you don't have demons. Everybody does. But people get upset if you tell them they have demons. But it doesn't mean that the demons are in them. Amen. They might have them in them. They might be attached to them. But they're definitely following. Because everybody has demons assigned to them by the powers of darkness. Thank God you got angels assigned to you. So if you're doing the right thing, the angels will fight for you. But if you're not doing the right thing and you're trying to fight this in the flesh, they can't. So demons try to access, first of all, they try to access in any way they can, but it always is with a desire. They try to influence your desire to choose something wrong. Wrong choice. What's behind door number two, right? 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Well, that's when a demon speaks, or things that are written of demonic forces. How about false religions? How about Islam? Those are all doctrines of demons. Amen? You got all these false Christian doctrines of demons, Jehovah Witnesses and all these other ones. Those are doctrines of demons. Every single one of them. There's only one true doctrine, and that's Christ speaking to me and you through his word. I don't care if it's King James or New King James or whatever. The epistles, they were written by living witnesses. Paul and Peter and John and James and the prophets of old. They are living witnesses. God's taking them and visiting them. Jesus is the only one who rose from the dead. No one else did. I didn't see Muhammad get up. I didn't see Buddha get up. He's just a fat, jolly demon. Still can't even drink coffee. It's amazing that why? Because these spirits, these deceiving spirits, deceive individuals to accept a false belief system. Once they've accepted it, it's like going fishing. You bit the bait. It's a matter of time until they reel you in. Hello? To deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared. In other words, their conscience has been severed where there's no conviction. With a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. Doctrines of demons, voices, writings, religions. How about music? How about media? Boy, they are false prophets. How about education? In education, they're called harlings. It's not education, it's indoctrination now. How about Hollywood and movies? These are all doctrines of demons. Look at the festivals. Halloween, everybody's getting ready to celebrate Halloween. It's amazing how many Christians celebrate Halloween. It's disgusting. These are idiots, deceived, and dumb as can be. They have no acknowledgement or the fear of God. They practice religion. They have a self-fulfillment by going to church, paying their tithes, but everything else is wrong in their life. Hallelujah. We all have demons assigned to us. This expressly it indicates a very large increase of deception, lies, and lust in the end times. What do these demons do if they're assigned to us? To provoke us, to influence us, and to mislead us. And they pound, pound, and pound until they get their way. But you must drive them out. You can't be a wimp in this circumstance. You must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Go to Revelation 16. You must hate demons. The Bible tells us to hate evil. You know, we've compromised so many things. Not seeing that demonic force is behind it. We've been born into compromise. We've been born into complacency. Things that happen to us, we're always looking to physical first, not the spiritual first. And that's wrong. Revelation 16, please, verse 12. See, when you look into physical first, then you do blame. You try to rescue yourself. Hallelujah. Revelation 16. And don't get me wrong, some of the things are in physical, you know. But don't look physical first. Look spiritual first. Hallelujah. Oh, gosh, help. You know, everybody's trying to get healthy. There's nothing wrong with that. Change of diet, this, that, whatever. That's a good thing, you know. But we want to eat healthy. The problem is most of the stuff that we think we're eating healthy is killing us anyways. Because people are looking physically first instead of spiritually. We're to delight and feed off God's faithfulness. We're delight in those. We feed off the Spirit of God Almighty. The Holy Spirit feeds us through His Word, through His promises, through His presence, through revelation. I love revelation. It's a full course meal. And I just sense right now, man, I'm telling you in worship today, I sense a tearing of people's souls. There's a tearing. It's hurting. There's a tearing between the world and being sold out to the world or being sold out to God. You can't be half and half. You must be sold out to God all the way. Be ready and available at any time. Verse 12, is everybody there? Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits. What's an unclean spirit? It's a demon. Like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, coming out of the mouth of the beast, and coming out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons, performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. What are they doing? They're enticing war. They're enticing to gathering together and come against God. That's what these demons are doing, these spirits that are coming out. Spirits of demons to deceive, provoke, and influence war against Christ and his offsprings. Go to Revelation 12, verse 13. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who's Israel, who gave birth to the male child, Jesus. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she should fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half time, which is 3.5 years, from the presence of the serpent. So the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. But the earth helped the woman. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her what? Offspring, who keep the commandments of God, which is the Jews, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is Christians. So they're coming after you. They're coming after me. They've been coming after us. You know, it's pretty amazing that after I had gotten saved, my wife and I were restored. We went to church one time, and we were walking out of the back, and there was these two women, two or three women, I forgot where they were, and they knew my name. They knew everything about my life. And they were assigned to me. They were witches. They used to show up at my house every once in a while. They were witches. They knew all about my life. They knew everything about me. And it's amazing to me that they showed up at church. They were at the end of the church. They must have come at the end. I don't know. And I was walking out, and they began to come at me. One time they showed up at my house. My wife wasn't there, and they invited me to a funeral. I said, "What are you doing? Get out of here." Hallelujah. This is you can't make this stuff up. I've had so many encounters with demonic forces and witches. One of them wanted to have my baby. It's called a spirit of lust. I think I married one once. Hallelujah. But this is real. This is happening. The demonic forces are real. And these demons are assigned to you to cause and a desire to cause you to fall. Every day we battle this. That's why we must attack first. You must be a first striker. It's hard to fight when you're injured. You know? Is everybody okay? Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of what? False prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. That means they've got demon-possessed prophets. You will know them by their what? Fruits, their desires. Do men gather grapes? Hallelujah. From thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. You will know them by their what? Desires. Their desires. That's their fruits. Listen, if you see a man proclaiming to be a prophet and walks out with a bottle of a wine and a cigar in his hand, he's not a prophet. You'll know demons by their fruits. They're fruits of approval. What is their fruits of approval? They're always trying to approve their fruits of deception. Remember, their desires they want to emplace in you. Every demon is a demon spirit of desire. They carry desire. Man, you know when they get even close to you, a certain desire begins to start in you. That's why we must stay dressed with the full armor of God. The shield of faith quenches their fiery darts. They're like porcupines. You will know them. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. For though Jesus was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Verse 5, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith or in the spirit. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Examine yourself of the faith or in the spirit or the flesh. Demons influence the flesh of humanity. Your old man is being tempted every day. He wants to be awakened. Right now he's been crucified. Those who are led by the Spirit, their old man is crucified. But he ain't shut up yet. So he still speaks to you from the cross. Does anybody get this? That's how he tries to influence you. He's always trying to overcome the new man. He's always trying to cause us to backslide. Thank God we have the blood. Amen, the blood of Jesus. That when we do get sucked up in a desire of some sort, we repent quickly. Go to Romans 8. Now, where there's self-infliction, it's not always a demon. Now, he may have caused you to do it, but, you know, when we self-inflict ourselves, you know, you might, if somebody's got a cold, you shake their hand or whatever, you know. You get around someone that's sick and you get sick. You know, but these are still spirits. A flu is a spirit. Does everybody get that? We must remove it. You know, I'll never forget, all of a sudden, we're out of nowhere. I was having a cramp. And I couldn't walk. I'm like, what the heck's going on with this? And the Lord said, remove that spirit from your leg. How did he get in there? He didn't answer me. He said, just remove it. And I commanded that spirit to loose my leg, and that cramp was gone. It was like a little choo-choo-wow bit me out, you know. Strange things, I'm telling you. What about those demons that came in at night and choked you while you were sleeping? Those dreams that you have, they're trying to influence, to bring a what? Desire. How many of y'all know fear is a desire? That's why the demons always carry that spirit of fear when something happens, fear. Now, there's a fear that protects, and there's a fear that opens the door of terror. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, please. Let's speak it. There, therefore, is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. If you're walking according to the flesh, are you walking according to the spirit or the demons? Amen. But according to the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in his flesh. Do you see how he's always using his flesh? His flesh. His flesh. Because your flesh and my flesh is lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Until we were born again with a new spirit, the old man still loves the world. The old man still loves lust. The old man still lies. He's still an offspring of Satan. He's still his son, his daughter. It's the new man, the new daughter, that's the offspring of Christ. So you and I deal with this every single day. Every day. We battle this. There's that inner battle and outer battle. Then there's the eternal battle. He condemns sin in the flesh of Christ, that the righteous requirement might be of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. So that requirement is that you and I walk in the Spirit. But according to the Spirit, verse 5, let's speak it. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So what you think is what you become. For to be carnally minded or demonically minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is hatred towards God. That's your old man. Now, you can't renew your old mind. You can't renew it. It must be dismantled and replaced with the mind of Christ. For it is not subject to the law of God. Hello. Nor indeed can it be. Does everybody see that? So then those who walk in the flesh cannot please God. So that's why that battlefield is where? In the mind. It's in the thoughts. As a man thinks, so he is. Your identity floats right in there. Who am I? And the enemy's always trying to dismantle your identity or draw it on his side. And the Holy Spirit's trying to bring to remembrance and draw it on his side. Who are you? We battle who we are every day. Your identity is being threatened constantly. Everybody okay? Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 10. See, your flesh is demonic reality. It has its own reality. It's demonic reality. Your spirit is eternal reality. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 3, please. For though we walk in the physical realm, we do not war according to the physical realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Did you see how I had to change those words? Does everybody understand that? Because we're not, he's saying here right now, we're not warring against the physical realm. We're warring against the what? Spiritual realm. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical or carnal or fleshly, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? A memory lie. Let me tell you three of them. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and pride of life. Ooh. Casting down arguments. Where's an argument? In your mind. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought, every what? Thought. Every desire, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you ain't going to take dominion until your dominion is taken. You must take dominion if you're submitting to God. Listen, you submit to God, resist the devil. You don't submit to God, you can't resist the devil. It's that simple. If you're not submitting to the laws of God, you can't submit, you can't resist the devil. He'll easily deceive you and cause you to backslide, take you back out of the spirit, and bring you right into the flesh. He pounds you with a desire. Your that desire that keeps pounding you and hounding you is a demon. He's revealing his name to you, whatever that desire is. You must bind it, blind it, mute it, and cast it to the pit. And sever all of its corruptible seeds that have been parted in you. Everything, those demons, that they come before you every single morning. Those desires come before you every morning. Those are spirits that know that they used to have access to you, but they don't anymore, and they're trying to get it again. Hallelujah. Though we live in the physical reality, we do not war against the physical reality or the physical principles, but according to the spiritual principles. Hallelujah. Okay, yeah. Let's go there. Let's go to Matthew 12, verse 43. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, what's an unclean spirit? A demon. He goes to dry places seeking rest and finds none. Then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. What's the house? A human body. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. Oh, cool. But it wasn't filled. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So shall also be with this wicked generation. So they do not quit. Just because you've been through deliverance doesn't mean it's over. They don't quit. Galatians 5. See, there are these demons, their names are exactly what their fruit is. If it's unforgiveness, it's the spirit of unforgiveness. Bitterness, it's the spirit of bitterness. Perversion, it's the spirit of perversion. Whatever. Whatever it is, he reveals himself because he can't help it. When Jesus asked the demon-possessed person, what's your name? He said, Legion. He said, because there's many of us. A legion is about 2,000. This guy had 2,000 spirit demons, either in him or through him or attached to him. Galatians 5:16. Let's speak it. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace and mercy be to them in the wrong place. Sorry. Galatians 5:16, and I say then walk in the spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of a demon. The desire of a demon. Does everybody see that? Man, we need to rewrite all this stuff so we get a better understanding. Read this again. I say walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the demons or your flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish or you desire because you've been influenced by that desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Walk in the eternal reality to reject the demonic reality. That's why we must live from the future, not from the past. Ephesians 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness. Ooh. But rather what? Expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you work circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are what? They are what? Evil. Expose your demons. Luke 4:13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation against Jesus, he departed from him until what? A what? Opportune time. So was he coming back? Yeah. Well, if they came back for Jesus, you think they'll come back for me and you? Yeah. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and news of him went out through all the surrounding region, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be what? He'll be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. What's the word believe mean? Follow. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will what? Cast out demons. That's the first thing he says. He didn't talk about healing. He didn't talk about, he's get rid of them. Cast them out. Why? So you can get healed. So you can get freed. So you can get free from oppression and heaviness. So you can get free from these things. In my name, they will cast out demons. Don't pick the phone. Run to the throne. Don't call the doctor. Go to Dr. Jesus first. In my name, they will cast out what? Demons. They will take up serpents, and if they will speak with new tongues. Sorry, and they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, you by no means hurt them. I can't tell you how many times I've had to use the scripture. Not because of my wife's cooking, because of somewhere I ate somewhere. My wife cooks very well. It by no means hurt them. Amen? Man, come on. I know we've been places and ate something or drinks and it was like, oh. You got to use the scripture. Lord, it's by no means hurt me. By no means hurt me. Don't run and get Alka-Seltzer first. Use the scripture first, then get the Alka-Seltzer, okay? And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Doesn't mean they're going to get healed immediately, but they will recover. They'll set them in the process. God will set them in the process to be healed. I've laid hands on sick people, and they got healed immediately, and sometimes I'm still waiting for some of them to get healed. But let me tell you something. The more you get in God's presence, the more you have an advantage of getting healing. The less you get in God's presence, the further that presence diminishes. I'll use that word. Or to drive them out to the pit. And don't just cast them out somewhere from they're going somewhere else. Drive them to the pit. Every day I pray that, Lord, search this earth through. Remove every demonic spirit on the face of the earth, on the face of heaven, and the face of Hades. Even in Hades, they ain't in the pit yet. And cast them to the pit in the name of Jesus. Psalm 18, verse 37. Now, David was a warrior, wasn't he? Yeah. Listen to what he says here, verse 37. I have pursued my enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn back again till they were what? Destroyed. I have wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet. For you have armed me with strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hate me. They cried out, but there was none to save. Even the Lord, but I did not answer them. He didn't answer them. Then I beat them as fine as the dust before the wind and cast them out like dirt into the streets. Yes, word of pursuit. Word of pursuit. And I'm going to close at Psalm 149. Verse 1. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker and the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with a dance. Hallelujah. Let them sing praises to him with the timbrel and harp. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. And let them sing aloud on their beds. Well, praise God, we're not in bed anymore. You can sing real loud. And a two-edged sword. Let them praise high praises in their what? Mouth. And a two-edged sword in their hand. That's double. In other words, what's he saying? You're gonna warfare in the spirit and you're gonna warfare in the physical. To do what? Execute vengeance of God on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, and to execute on them the written judgment. This honor and authority have all of his saints, his offsprings, praise to the Lord. All of people knew who they really were. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask you to continue to expose our demons. Don't let us miss any of them. So that we may remove them from this arena to the pit, including all sicknesses and diseases. All these demons of desire, that they would go to the pit in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.